Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, June 13th, 8:13 Central Time, and we're going to study the Daily Lectionary. Joining me in the studio this morning, the anniversary man, the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer. Happy anniversary to you and Bonnie.
How'd you figure that one out?
Well, I just happened to hear it on the radio.
Oh, it's also Bonnie's birthday.
Is it? Happy birthday, Bonnie.
She might even be listening. She's in Detroit, Andy.
Aww.
But a great time, and it's Michael Kumm's birthday.
That's right. That's right.
And so, Michael and Janet, if you're out there listening in South Dakota?
Dakota Dunes. Yeah.
I saw a picture, and if you saw it, they put some Green Bay balloons, and it looked like a pie in his desk. And then a guy with a mustache, a balloon two guy in the chair, looked pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a big Packers fan.
So. Oh, he is. What a great guy. So happy birthday, Michael, wherever you are.
Happy birthday, Pastor Kumm and Bonnie Zwanitzer and all the other folks celebrating birthdays today.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, apart on your anniversary, no fun. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just me and the dog, so we're going to go out for a big meal, some champagne. So, yeah.
And the plumber, is that all cleared up
It's
now?
Cleared up, so we're good.
Very good.
We're good.
Well, it's time to study the Daily Lectionary. We're in Luke chapter 23 this morning, verses 26 through 56. If you have a question, you can email us today, kfuo@kfuo.org. That's kfuo@kfuo.org. Reverend Zwanitzer, are you ready to study God's Word?
I'm always ready to study God's Word.
All righty, very good. We are Luke 23:26 through 56. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Let's pause there. So as they led Jesus away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene. Not two Simons, one Simon.
Yeah, one Simon.
One Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And so instead of laying the cross on Jesus, they lay it on Simon of Cyrene. Any ideas why Simon?
Well, he was convenient. And by this time, because of the flogging and such, our Lord was probably in a very weak state. And so probably really couldn't endure all that. So the Romans said, let's just, you know, everybody is our servant. So let's grab somebody and make him haul it in. So that's what occurs that most experts would think.
So they placed the cross on him, laid the cross on him to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and women who were mourning and lamenting him. Mourning and lamenting Jesus or Simon, say, lamenting him.
Yeah. Well, you know, women have more passion and emotions about things than men. And so, I mean, for the high expectations that everybody had for this man from Nazareth were evident. I mean, you know, the outstanding miracles that he did were probably spreading like wildfire. And also we must not forget, Andy, the feverish pitch that was probably going around this time that now is the chosen one going to come in and free us from this Roman occupation. You know, these are outsiders. I always like to tell the people it's like Canadians or Mexicans occupying and ruling over us Americans on our own land, you know? And so, you know, can you imagine them occupying New York City or Washington, D.C. or St. Louis? And so, you know, with this guy approaching, but now he's going to be put to death. And in chapter 24, we get that feel for where the crowd probably was, you know, that this Jesus went and got himself killed, the two guys on the road to Emmaus with our Lord said. And so I think the people here are probably bemoaning that and lamenting that this hero is now going to die. And I think that leads us into, what is it, verse 28, where Jesus answers them, "Do not weep for me, mm-hmm. but weep for yourselves." So to go there, if I may, Jesus is saying, hey, it's not me that's got a problem. It's you sinners that have a problem. And I'm going to, this cross, a crucifixion, a resurrection, and ascension, and ruling from the right hand of God with all authority and power is what you need. You need me to die, really. And our Lord knows this, and we know it now, that he has come to do just this, suffer, and die for our sins.
And he speaks prophetically here. Before, behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. They will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? He's speaking prophetically, it sounds like. Days are coming that are not going to be good, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think this even has a trajectory into our time, Andy, where what is vital in life? What is there really to celebrate and to mourn? And I heard it said this way, and I think it's so well, because it matches with what our Lord does. I think it's in Matthew 13. He tells this parable about wheat, good seed, and poisonous, noxious seeds of weeds being planted at the same time. And he says, when the other guy sneakily came in to the world and planted these evil, noxious weeds. And so one guy said, it's like someone reverses the price tags when we're all asleep. And what is not worth anything, they put the high price on them so everyone will work hard and desire that above the things that really count. And I think that's what our Lord is referring it here to, that, there's going to become a time. And of course, in this scenario that Jesus is talking about, the Romans actually come in what, 70 AD, and they wipe out Jerusalem, including the temple. And so, terrible things are coming. And he said, this is what you ought to be prepared for. And I'm the thing that you really need to focus on. My death is a good thing for you, not a bad thing. That's so foreign to our ears, isn't it? I know that you've had this experience as I, Andy, that a non-believer, when he hears this great, the fancy word is vicarious atonement. We theologians love to use these big terms that, so we can kind of look at people and go, see how smart I am. And, you want me to do it even in the Latin. But in essence, what it means, vicarious means he's the substitute in our place. And the atonement means he takes the satisfactory punishment and gives the payment, the ransom, redeems us back by this this wonderful death and resurrection. And that's what he's saying here. He said, and I was thinking too, there's this, I don't know if it's in Luke, you've been doing it more here mm-hmm. recently than I, but I think, my guess is it's outside of Luke, where before he goes to the cross, Jesus looks over Jerusalem and he's lamenting. And he's saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've lamented over you. I wanted to take you under my wings for protection as a mother hen does her chicks, kind of when there's a hawk, a chicken hawk in the area. I was willing, but you resisted me. And so there's the real lament he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, hey, this is just the beginning. What happens when it's going to get worse? And I think we're seeing that in these end times. Mm-hmm. It intensifies this opposition to Christ. And wasn't that great that Pastor Shave was talking about how in these inner city situations, not only people not interested in the church, but they contend against the church. So we're getting more and more of that. And I think our Lord is talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Verse 32, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they were there. They crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Let's pause there. So two others who were criminals were led away with him to be put to death with him, to be crucified with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, this is Golgotha, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is a text that I think most people have heard before as well. I mean, it's a pretty familiar text. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What is Jesus praying here?
Well, before I forget, because this old mind is prone to do this, you know where we started off with two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. You know, that's a major theme of Luke, that you know, the most undesirables, again, kind of going back to what Pastor Shea was talking about, Jesus eats with them, and he lets everybody know that the people that, you know, say, "We're pretty good like these rulers, we really don't need a savior," that Jesus is really opposed to those kind of people. But those that are on the edge, as Pastor Shea was saying, that are kind of pushed out to the very edges of society, and society doesn't care for them, these are the ones that Jesus loves the most. And Luke emphasizes that, along with women. And so isn't this neat that the two criminals are there with our Lord? And what does he say to them and us? "Father, we really want to forgive them, because these people don't know what they're doing." Hmm. And isn't that so true? I mean, you and I have heard so many sermons on Monday, Thursday. Good Friday, where we hear the seven sets of words of our Lord from the cross, and this is the first one. We've heard over the years so many good things about this. And what I always go back to is, if we only knew, and all people really knew, we believers know that we're poor, miserable sinners who only deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. Mm-hmm. But we don't stop there, do we? We protest, and we ask God that he would not look at us and our terrible criminal activity against him, our traitor, ship, as we would say, but to look at Jesus and this price that we talked about, this punishment, this payment that Jesus is going to make for every one of us. And that's what the Father wants for every human being. So that always moves me, Andy, on Good Friday, that, you know, our Lord, he could be talking about himself. I don't deserve this, or, "Hey, look at me, how neat I am." No, he's always focused, as the Father and the Spirit are, of what kind of God they really are about, and that's to forgive us of our sins. So right out of his mouth, the first thing he does is talks about that. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we do against God, and so we're such an enemy of God that none of us would ever seek him out. That's what the Psalm says, and Paul repeats it in Romans 3. No, not one of us would seek him out, because we're at war against him. It's not just that we can't do what he wants us to do. We love the sin, and we love the lie, and we love to contend against God, as we're going to hear coming up. And this is a real good theme right in this section, is it not? The undesirables of society, they're right here with Jesus, and we see a startling contrast between two of them and their opinions. And if we go on, then we can chat about that, unless there's something else you want to here.
Yeah. And the people stood by watching. Well, they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." They mocked him.
Who does that sound like? Who did that with Jesus before?
"Let him save himself, if he is
the Christ. If he is the chosen one."
Mm-hmm.
Who does that remind you of?
Help me out.
Matthew 4. Right, Jesus goes into the wilderness right after he's baptized, mm-hmm. and who confronts him after 40 days?
My mind is drawing blank.
Satan. If you are the Messiah, turn these rocks into bread. If you are the chosen one, Jesus, show us your stuff. And they're doing the same thing
right,
here.
Right.
If you are the chosen one, the Messiah of God, they would have heard back then, the Christ for us, save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Show us this, who you really are. And Jesus does show us who he really is, doesn't he? He gives up his soul.
Sure.
For us.
He humbles himself ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is really satanic. This is Satan working his best at the very end. Hey, if you really are this chosen one, this Messiah, this Christ, then show us right now by saving yourself. But that wouldn't have worked, would it?
Mm.
That wouldn't have saved anybody.
No.
He knows that just amazing is it that in the garden, the night before Jesus goes to this crucifixion, Andy, he knows what's coming. And it isn't just a cruel death as crucifixion was, but he knows he's going to receive much more than that. He's going to have to drink the cup of God's wrath against sin. And we know when that happens, when he cries out, my God, why are you forsaking me? That's when it really hits him. And that's when it really hits me and should all people. Jesus is not just dying. God is punishing him. He's saying, okay, buddy, I'm gonna show you my anger against sin of all time, even the people that are going to sin in the future. I can't fathom what that really was, but what I can fathom is the words I hear from Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll hear one of the criminals who was hanging on the cross next to him said. So stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Did you know that more than 38 million people in America speak Spanish? You can share the gospel with them in their own language using a new resource from Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the Spanish Bible with Small Catechism. Like all the books LHF translates and publishes, the Spanish Bible is available at no cost to the people and ministries who need them. LHF 800-554-0723 or visit lhfmissions.org.
Police in Phoenix have searched a downtown neighborhood and interviewed an injured priest for clues in a shooting that left another priest dead inside a Catholic Church rectory Wednesday night, but had no suspects as of Thursday afternoon. Police say Father Kenneth Walker was fatally shot and Father Joseph Terra was critically injured at Mother of Mercy Mission. The Vicar General of the Phoenix Diocese says the 56-year-old Terra called 911 and was able to administer last rites to Father Walker, who was 29. About a dozen parishioners gathered outside the church Thursday, kneeling and reciting the rosary. Parishioner Bill Haley says there was no need for gunmen to steal anything from the priests.
They would have given them the shirt off their back if they had asked. We've had many people knock on the door needing assistance. They've never turned them away. They've even put them up.
Mayor Greg Stanton says Phoenix
lost a young priest who had dedicated himself to making a difference in the lives of others.
I'm Steve Coleman.
The Bible is the source of truth, and those who are engaged in that pursuit of truth are well served to study the Bible, to learn what it offers. That's what happens weekdays on the Bible Study Program on Worldwide KFUO. Hear the magnificent teachings that are revealed as we take in the Word of God. Call or email with your questions and comments, or just listen to the Bible Study on AM 850 in St. Louis, online at kfuo.org.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and we are jumping back into God's Word. We're at verse 39, and we're going to, I guess, go a little bit kind of fast, but hopefully not too fast. We want to get all the good stuff in the text this morning. So verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." There's a lot in just those last, two verses, really. When the criminal next to him says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus' response there is quite powerful.
Mm-hmm. And that's critical, is it not? Because, you know, if you go back to 30, boy, these letters are really small. 38. And 37, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There's that satanic if again. And the scription over him read, "This is the king of the Jews," which we know in other gospels, the Jews contend that too. They don't want him called king of the Jews. And Pilate says, "What I've written, I have written." And, you know, he even asked Jesus when Jesus is before Pilate, "Are you a king?" And Jesus admits, "I'm a king." And then he says something fantastic. And, you know, "Blessed are the people who hear me and understand." And that's a major biblical theme. Matthew's gospel especially emphasizes that, this kingdom. And so that's what's going on here. This king is dying, which is amazing. And the other one gets satanic again. "Are you not the Christ, the Messiah? Save yourself and us. So there's this challenge to who Jesus really is. You know, and we know, Andy, that's so critical to ask people, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" And then it gives us a chance to witness to who he really is. He really is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the other rebukes him, which means to angrily correct, and says, "We're under the same sentence of condemnation. We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Wow. And then—
Isn't that in the same breath, isn't that a confession of sin and a confession of faith?
That's exactly what I was going to say. So we don't have to waste those words. We can go on. Very good. It's really confession and turning to Jesus for absolution.
Sure.
And then Jesus gives, in essence, the absolution, doesn't he?
"Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise."
Yeah. And, you know, I was just listening this morning, Andy, and it irritated me again. As you know, I'm a golf lover, and the U.S. Open is going on in North Carolina. And this guy was talking about, you know, being able to possibly play on Father's Day. His dad died 2 years ago. And he's saying, "And I know if I get to Sunday's round, my dad's going to be watching." The Bible never says stuff like that. And I was thinking, you know, who do we really want with us, present with us? And he guarantees he will be present with us to the end of the age, Jesus. Mm. So it's always turning the focus off of Jesus and onto someone else. And Jesus puts it back on him, you know. "Hey, buddy, today I promise you, you're going to be with me in paradise." Then he never really tells us where it's at or what they're doing, but I'll take it. You know, Paul was at the fifth level of heaven, and he said it was so magnificent, we don't even have the vocabulary. You want to jump
sure.
on here?
Yeah, we've just got about 3 minutes here to wrap up the text, unfortunately. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So here we see the death of Jesus. There was darkness. The sun failed. The curtain of the temple was torn in two.
Mm.
Significant, isn't it?
Access to God, because, you know, mm-hmm. the curtain in the temple was access into the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest could go with the atoning sacrifice once a year. So that's symbolic that, hey, this old system is done. And Jesus, as we know in Hebrews 10 especially, says he did the sacrifice of himself, and he was the high priest one time for all people. Mm-hmm. No need to re-sacrifice, which is this is saying. And then what a great thing he says there in this third statement of our Lord from the cross. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. What a great thing for all of us to do now and at our last breath. I trust you, God, with my soul for eternity. And I've never been there on the other side, but I have this firm belief and conviction that I'm never going to stop being aware. God's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be out of this body for a while, and then he's going to resurrect that too.
The centurion said, certainly this man was innocent. He praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a great statement?
Mm-hmm.
And the people there heard all this and saw this event, this darkness, the curtain being torn, people raised from the grave, on and on. So we're told this is a big event in all of history, the biggest. And it said this spectacle. And when they saw this, they returned home beating their breast. Wow. Now there's a statement.
Verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. So here we have the burial of Jesus and Joseph of Arimathea. We don't know a whole lot about him. We get a little bit of history about him here. He's from the Jewish town of Arimathea, was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, had not consented to their decision to crucify Jesus, right?
Right. That I think key here is the latter part of that 51st verse. Mm-hmm. He was looking for the kingdom of God. So he was probably seeing a lot that Jesus had talked about and his miracles and so forth, and now his death. And so he, sure seems like he was a believer by now, and he does the great thing of asking for the body, laying it in a tomb that he had cut that no one had ever been laid, and they wanted to do all this before the Sabbath, mm-hmm. according to the commandments, unclean and clean. So, and the women here anointed our Lord. They were the prepared his body.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that's done here after the crucifixion in his honor.
Gave him a proper burial.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. Well, we have our time has already come to a close. I know it was a short one today, but
a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff packed in.
And, you know, really, you know, Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is able and willing to take all of our sins upon himself continually. So that's where we need to go.
Amen.
Give it to Jesus.
Thanks for coming in to study God's Word with us today. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Creation Club with Pastor Warren Worth. Stick around for that. All right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.